It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio. We've also got producer extraordinaire Austin O'Neill joining us here on the show today. Got a good show lined up for you. We're going to talk a little bit about Knoxville Raceway in a little bit with the new general manager. Jason Reed is going to join us here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking to him about his plans for Knoxville Raceway. It's always good to talk Knoxville here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Austin, how are you doing today, my friend? You doing all right?
Yep, doing good.
You sound so excited today. Why the low energy there this morning? Let me ask you this, Austin. So we talked about you running up there at I-80 last weekend. Do you hang on to that a little bit too long? Did you let it go after Saturday night? Are you still kind of just dwelling on how that kind of sucked for you running third and doing so well up there? Does it kind of bother you a little bit or not?
No, I mean, there's more that came out of that night than just
more positives.
Yeah, than just having a tire go down and end our run. We washed the car last night, and all we talked about is
how much fun it's going to be next year.
How much fun it was going to be next year, and what we did, on Saturday and Saturday night. I mean, we haven't raced since July, and nobody. The car was sitting there ready to go for about a month, Everybody was kind of out of the groove, and we hopped back in there, and we're one of the best cars there, and we competed against some of the best cars in the Midwest, and raced against names you look up to, like we talked about yesterday, the Carls, Clint Henderson, Jack Dover, the Chris.
You
Martin.
Weren't racing against a bunch of nobodies.
No, and for us to come out there and do that, that's. Even though it sucks that we had that issue, now we have, confidence and motivation going into the winter that, all right, we'll make sure we get everything done right this winter and carry ourselves into next year.
Do you feel like you had a car that was capable of winning up there the other night? Did you feel like it? I mean, even though you were running third, were they kind of out on you a little bit, or did you feel like you had the speed if you maybe got out into the lead, you could have won that race? Do you think so?
Yeah, if I would have started on the front row and it was 20 laps, not 25, and I found the rubber at the time that I did, I think we could have won it. I go up there to do the redraw, and I was the sixth car in passing points. Jack Dover was fifth, and there was two pills left, a two and a four, and Dover pulled the two, and I got the four.
Right.
So if Dover pulls the four and I get the two.
You think you had a chance.
And yeah, if I can beat, Chris or Linton in turn one and come out second or closer to the leader, and the first start goes, I might have a shot there. It's just... I think with me not being that great on starts and restarts, it kind of hurt our chances of maybe running second or winning. I gave up so much time on the start and the front stretch. I had no forward drive. It was just kind of sit there.
Right.
I don't want to say wheel spinning because it wasn't. It was just kind of stuck hovering. And I finally got the car under itself at the flag stand and made a big run on the top to get momentum. And it just wasn't enough when those guys on the bottom could start in moisture and take off. But, the little mistakes cost us, maybe bigger results, but I'm not going to be too disappointed.
You're not going to dwell on it.
Yeah, and those smallest mistakes I was pumped to run third if we would have finished there. Like I said, I was watching the scoreboard and it was counting in the laps, and I'm like, all right, just don't mess anything up, too big here. Don't drive through the hole into 30 and... And spin out and back it up into the fence or tear something up. So, I'm pretty good about knowing where I feel like I'm pretty good about this of knowing my situation and knowing, when to push it and know when just to to ride it out and, you know, and come back the next race.
Right. I want to give a shout out to Chuck, who's listening in from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Jimmy, he's listening in from Southwestern PA. Marie, one of our favorites, she's checking in as well. Caleb's hanging out with us. Marvin. And the Frogman, Frog Hall, is hanging out with us as well here today on the show. We want to give a shout-out to those guys. What do you think about this transition from Kendra to Jason Reed? Have you had a chance to read the story about Knoxville? How do you feel about it? And we want to shout-out to Tim as well. He's listening in from Iowa City. Go ahead.
I haven't read into it a whole lot. I kind of know just the basics of it. And
yep.
It sounds like, you know, Jason's been around the fairgrounds and the speedway for, what, 18 or so years. So, you know, he's definitely seen it all and has been under, you know, under the...
He was the Fair Board president at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's been under some roles of that level, as you know, as it would be for a general manager of the track. So I think, you know, with his experience with different, you know, people he's worked with throughout the years, it's going to pay off, you know, to be pretty well for him. And I think he can continue to make Knoxville, you know, great and make Knoxville, you know, or build Knoxville up to be, you know, what it has been built up to and to grow it even more.
Yeah. I've got to agree. You know, I listened to an interview that he did on the Dirt Podcast last night, and after listening to that interview, I'm feeling pretty confident about Jason Reed and his ability to be able to lead the Fair Board. He's got the relationship that he's had. He's been over there for roughly 14 years. He was previously the Fair Board president. He started in 1993 as a volunteer up at Knoxville. And, you know, the big question is, really, right now, the number one question, and he kind of answered it on the Dirt Podcast last night, that Spire is not going to be, they're not going to be managing him, per se, but they're going to help Knoxville Raceway with some of the marketing stuff, and I think that's a good plan for them, don't you think, Austin?
Yeah, I think if you can keep Spire in there and keep them a part of the track, it will be a great thing, and hopefully that partnership and relationship can continue for years, you know, years to come. Just look what Spire has done for the track and the Knoxville Nationals and the events that it has. I mean, it's, you know, it brought NASCAR to the track, and it made, you know, some of these events, you know, really big, and it helped, you know, maybe elevate the Nationals to another level. And
yeah,
you know, I think, you know, Spire has a lot of power and has a lot of contacts, and if they can keep them together and keep that relationship, you know, good every year and good for more years, like I said, it's just going to pay off, and it's going to be one of those tracks that has everything you want or everything you would need to be successful. And in Knoxville will be one of those tracks like that, and it's going to continue to succeed until the end.
Right. There's no doubt about it. And there's a lot of people that are comparing Jason Reed to Ralph Capitani. I don't know if that's fair to Jason or not, but listen, if people think that he has the ability to be a Ralph Capitani, that's a good thing in my eyes. Don't you think so, Austin? Do you remember Ralph Capitani? Cappy?
No, I don't. He was way before my time, and I go.
He just left a couple years ago.
Yeah,
how many years ago was it, Kirk? Kirk, how many years ago did Ralph leave?
I think it was.
Kirk's always good with the dates. About 5 years ago.
2016, something
about
like
2016.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before I was really paying attention to Knoxville, and I when he came to Knoxville, it was during his heyday, I guess you could say, up there was before my time. So I get to hear is, you know, stories about Cap B, but mm-hmm. You know, from the, you know, we have the Capitani race on Sunday before the Nationals, and the stories and the videos that come out, you know, leading up to that race on drivers' opinions and stories and fans and people that worked with Cap B. You know, when they talk about him on that Sunday, it just really shows on, you know, how much he meant to that track and how much he, you know, you know, did for Knoxville and, you know, really helped build it up to be, you know, what it is today. I think, you know,
right.
he kind of laid the foundation for what Spire did and, you know, people here in the past, you know, 5-6 years, to really put it on the map the way it is.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So Steve, he said, need to try to get Jason to get the National a feature away from a 50 lap race. It's a sprint race. No pit stops. What do you think about that? Do you think they ought to bring it back maybe to 40 laps or 35 laps? What do you think about that, Austin?
You still won't make enough fuel for 40. You're going to have to make a 25, 30, probably 25 laps if you don't want to have a pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the 14 guys, they have to run 33-gallon tanks to make it almost a full feature at Knoxville. And what they, you know, usually do for the Nationals is they'll go out there and run two full tanks of 66, almost 66, you know, gallons of fuel for the 50 lap race. And you know, I think if you guys or Knoxville gets rid of the pit stop break and makes the race shorter, it's gonna change the race and maybe in a negative way, because you know it's such a strategy race for the first 25 laps. I mean, if you're leading, you don't want to burn all your stuff up, even though you get right. to change tires. It makes guys kind of race in a strategy, I guess. So if you're in the back, you got to get up to maybe the top 10 for the halfway break to get your stuff even better and run up there to the front and have a shot the last 25 laps. It's just it's a race. We don't have a lot of 50-lap races.
Right.
And, you know, there's...
But lot of people that don't like the pit stop, right? In the middle,
it's 5 minutes. It's not like we're going out here and having a 30-minute break where guys are getting out of their cars. I mean, it's just it's not that big of an issue. I feel like it's no different than running out there and pacing for a couple laps. But
yeah,
I mean, it's not as it's longer than that. But it's always how the Nationals has been.
Yeah, Steve said it used to be a 35-lap race. That's probably a little bit before your time, though.
Yeah, it's probably before the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
They changed it.
Yeah. I don't know. I got mixed emotions on it, to be honest with you. I think that, me personally, I'm kind of like Steve. I'd like to see it like 35 laps and just run a straight race, no strategy, no pit stop, no changing tires, no tweaking on the car at the halfway point. I'm kind of the opposite of you there a little bit, Austin. And usually you and I agree on most everything, but I think I'm kind of like Steve on this. I think bring it back to 35 laps, run it straight through, and just see who can win it in the end. That's what I think.
Well, your winners always come from the first couple rows.
That's true, right?
You'll never see anybody ever win from the... You might. Years ago, yes, but the competition now, it's so tough and the equipment's so good. You're not gonna drive from 20th to win it in 30 laps.
Right.
It's just that'll never happen.
So Mark, he chimes in. He said, put the big tanks on it if you want to run 50 laps. Silver Crown big tanks.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
One, they don't even fit sprint cars. The Silver Crown cars have their
frame is totally different, right?
Yes, they have to. So the front part of the tank is longer than a normal ATL or something, in a 28 or 33 mm-hmm. gallon tanks.
Caleb says, I think the point is that during the pit stop, you can change your car to how the tracks change instead of just using your ability on how the car handles in the conditions. I'm still the kind of person that thinks that I think it should just run it straight through. I know that you disagree with me on that. And Pete says it's a cool day here in upstate New York. So, Pete,
I think before every Nationals feature, they go out there and do a track rework. It's not a heavy track rework. It's a little bit on the bottom and the top, and it always makes the first handful of laps of the feature, maybe the first 8 to 10, 12 laps,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not that great as they're trying to blow the track off. So you take laps out of that race. Now let's say you make it 35 laps. Now you're going to only have maybe 25, 23 you know, maybe, you know, laps on a good erasable track. Now at that point, you're spread out.
Sam says that Donnie has come out of the B in one. What year would that have been? I'm not sure what year that would have been. Do you know?
Around 2013 range.
Yeah.
So when they had 50-lap races.
Caleb wants to know how big of a bladder can fit in those tanks. I want a good race. I'll enjoy what format they decide on. It's 33 gallons, right? That's all you can put in there.
Yeah, so...
how many laps can you run on a half mile of 33 gallons, Austin? Can you tell me that?
Funny, we're talking about this. Eric is trying to get me to switch off my 33-gallon tanks and buy 28-gallon tanks for my 360s, and that's not going to happen. But so we were talking about that last night, and I think at the... now, for a 410, he didn't tell me what the 410 was, but for the 360s, he ran, like, the 30-lap 360 Nationals on, like, 25 gallons. And I think it'll probably be closer to 30 gallons for the 410s. So usually the tanks come in two different sizes, 28 gallons or 33 gallons, and that's the shell, and it comes with the corresponding bladder size, which holds the same amount as the shell size.
Right. Billy said, and I like this a little bit, Billy, just so you know, Billy said, if they are going to have a halfway break, then extend it to 70 laps. What do you think about that? What do you think?
That's 35 in each run. I don't know if you'd make it on fuel on 35 lap features.
You definitely have to put on new tires, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah. The nice thing about Knoxville is Knoxville isn't hard on tires. I put a new left rear on when we went up there in July, and it has 40 laps on it, and it looks like it's barely been worn. You know, there's a couple spots on it that have wear marks because the inside edge is the hottest edge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, I mean, the tire is almost virtually brand new, and same with the right rear. So, I mean, you can run all 75 laps on a set of tires, but if you have a stage break, you're going to put new ones on no matter what. It's not going to change.
How about Frog? He chimes in. He says, hell, take it to 100 laps, multiple stops, make it a real strategy, give the folks a show. I'm not.
Yeah,
Frog,
I don't want to sit there for over an hour and a half.
Frog, I don't like that idea, just so you know. 70, maybe? That might be interesting, but... to be honest with you, I'd like to see it 35 laps. And we'll ask Jason if there's a chance that they might cut those laps at the Knoxville Nationals, the 410 Nationals, this year. Hey, Austin, I don't know if you're a country Western.
No.
You're not. Loretta Lynn.
Can't stand country music.
You can't stand it?
It's horrible.
Hold on a second. Is... old country horrible or
all of it.
New country horrible?
Country. I don't care what category it sits in, new, old.
It doesn't matter.
Hip-hop, no. Horrible.
You know, as a guy that grew up on Southern rock, to be honest with you, I can't stand old country music. You know, your dog dying, your kid got ran over by a car, whatever. I can't get into that. But the new country music, I kind of like it a little bit better than the old country music. And I say that only because it's a little closer to Southern rock. And, you know, when I grew up, it was the Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, who else was it? There were several of them out there. Marshall Tucker Band. Those were some of my favorites. Marie says, now, Austin. I think she likes country music a little bit. Marie does. But Loretta Lynn passed away today at the age of 90. You have no idea who Loretta Lynn is, do you?
Nope.
No?
See, I'm not a country person.
Yeah. But it's kind of sad. She passed away. A 38 special. There's another one. There's another one right there, Steve. I appreciate you chiming in on that. But So, 90 years old, she passed away in her sleep last night. And old Marie says, rest in peace, Loretta. No, I'm with you. You know, I'm not much, I like the newer country better than I do the old country. And I got a feeling that Marie likes the old country a little bit more than the new country. So we'll just have to see how that goes. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Jason Reed join us here on the show, and we'll talk everything. Now, listen, folks, if you have a question for Jason, just throw it up here on the chat room on Facebook, and we'll ask him that question if we have time to do so. So Jason Reed's going to join us now. He's the new general manager of Knoxville Raceway. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We want to remind everybody that you still have time to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and buy you a Sprint Car raffle ticket. They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis. This is a complete 410 Sprint Car, folks. And they're going to give it away on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And I always tell people, if you're not comfortable with giving your information on a computer, because I know a lot of people aren't, a lot of the older people aren't, you can always call them at 641-842-6176. That's 641-842-6176, I should say. Let me repeat that one more time. 641-842-6176. They're going to give you $25,000 on top of that as well. It's a great deal. Get up there, purchase your Sprint Car Raffle ticket. Again, if you want to do it online, you can do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. And speaking of Knoxville, our next guest on the show is now the new general manager of Knoxville Raceway. Jason Reed joins us on the show. Jason, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. Listen, I cheated a little bit last night, and I listened to the Dirt broadcast, and, man, there was a lot of great things that come out of that interview last night. Let's start off by telling the people that are listening to Mostly Motorsports right now about your history with Knoxville. I think it was 1993. You were a volunteer at Knoxville Raceway. Talk about that a little bit.
Right. Yeah, that was right. That was the year I graduated high school, and I was always a lifelong fan of the raceway. And my grandpa was on the fair board, served as president back in years before that. So it's always been in the family to be around here. And then I, as a kid too, I participated in the fair, showing livestock here. So I spent my whole growing up years here at the fair and at the racetrack, and then after I graduated high school, I still wanted to be involved. So then I started talking to some of the board members. I volunteered, and I started helping out at the fair and stuff. And then eventually was moving in, helping with the fair board on the racing part of it too, you know, just helping as needed. Did that for several years. Went through college and got a job and stuff. And then started in 08 there. They said, you're pretty good around here. Why don't you try to, come to our election and get on the fair board. And I did that since 08 and served several roles there. You know, I was president for 4 years of that time and the board secretary for 4 years. So I spent those 14 years on the executive committee, helping making a lot of the decisions about Knoxville, and then they just decided they want to do a general manager job, and then they asked me if I was interested. First, I was kind of shocked, and I was like, "Man, yeah, that's a lifelong dream, you know." But then it was still, a decision to be made. Give up. I worked at 3M for last 18 years as a supervisor out there. Got a good job out there. So it still was, I had to make a decision to make a life change at 48 years old, so
that's crazy.
But it's been great.
Yeah. You spent 18 years out there at 3M. You were not only just an employee there, but you managed people there at 3M as well. Talk about that. And that quality makes you prepared for this position, right?
Yeah. When I started at 3M there, I was just an hourly employee, but then I worked my way up and a lead on the floor there, kind of just watching over, making sure it was running good. And then I got into the actual supervisor position, where just depends on, what we had for staff or whatever, but I managed it, between 60 and up to 100. And I think most I ever had was like 148 employees out there, which was a plenty out there, trying to keep a factory running. But yeah, so I dealt with all kinds of personalities with employees, there, all the situations that they have. And then on the other side of it too, then I had to deal with the upper management too, you know, saying, hey, the business has got to, it's got to make X amount of dollars and you got to figure out a way to do it. So then, you know, we had to, you know, figure out ways there to make money too. So then, you know, I got dealing with the trying to keep everybody happy, you know, as an hourly worker, which everybody knows is a challenge, especially the last few years to go through the pandemic and everything. But, and then also being able to still deliver results where they're like, you got all the employees happy, but then everybody's still, the business side of it, still making money and that keep those guys happy too.
Yeah. So I think the first question that a lot of people want to know is that we know that Kendra Jacobs, she worked for Spire Sports and Entertainment before she left to go to work for Flow, right? And in your conversation with those guys last night, it was clear that Spire is still going to have a role at Knoxville Raceway, but not necessarily manage you. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yep, we and you know, with Kendra and then Joey this year after Kendra left, you know, we basically had somebody from Spire here to handle day-to-day operations and then be ready for the weekly show on Saturday night, you know. And so, yeah, they're still going to be, in my envision, we're working through those details right now, but what I envision is they're still going to be there to help us, you know, on some major sponsorship things. You still use their legal part, you know, to get the make sure we have all our contracts right. And we've got everything that we need to be doing to make sure that we're in compliance with everything. But the day-to-day operations and the weekly shows we will run with myself and Jim Udemark and John McCoy and Gary Schumacher here in the office. You know, the team we have here, we'll do that ourselves. We won't have Spire as a presence here every day.
Yeah. And with that, I think that's a good decision on your part to have the legal counsel that's at Spire, because, listen, they know about sponsorship and marketing and everything about that. And I'm really good friends with Jeff Dickerson and TJ Pusher. They're great friends of mine. I've been friends with TJ since, about 2000, I think it was. We've been friends, and we just really good friends. He's been a great asset to me. When I sold the rights to the Chili Bowl and the Shootout, when Kirk and I did, we went through Spire, and we used their legal department to help us get through that. I think that's a great move on you guys' part, to use them as a tool or a mechanism to be able to get through the wavy water, to say.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, and that's the same way as me. So with using Jeff and Bill, their attorneys there and everything. Yeah, they know the kind of business we're in. They know our business now that, you know, they've been helping us out, and they're ones that I can call. I mean, I can call Jeff Dickerson on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, and he's going to answer the phone, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to have somebody that, when you get in these situations that you got to, you know, make something, you got someone you can rely on that's got the background, they know the knowledge. So yeah, I've made a great relationship with those guys, all of them. And they've always answered any questions I've had, you know, I've been the president of the Fair Board here the last 2 years. So last year Kendra was here, and then this year with Joey and those guys, I've been able to, you know, anytime we have an incident, we need to call them. They've been there to answer. They come and help when we need it. So, yeah, they're a great asset to use, I believe.
Joey Denowitz is a pretty good guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy, he knows everybody, but he's got so much going on with, you know, Spire, too. He's just, I don't know how he keeps it all straight.
I
took
don't
him
either.
To the airport this morning, and he told me this was his 57th flight, you know, this year, 18th airport or something. Yeah, he's flying all over, doing a lot of things. But, yeah, he's been a great asset. He's taught me a lot this year, and he's still going to help me, you know, as we go forward here. So
yeah, in your conversation with the guys last night, I thought it was interesting that you would still like to see the Truck Series, maybe not every year, but maybe come back to Knoxville eventually. Your thoughts on that real quick?
Yeah, no, I think we, you know, maybe we designate a weekend, the third weekend of June, we're gonna do something, you know. 1 year we're gonna run NASCAR trucks, next year we're gonna run USAC non-wing sprint cars, you know. Next year we have a monster jam. I don't know. I'm just throwing out things out there, but
right.
I think we just got to come up with some weekend, you know, that we're going to do something different out of the ordinary, you know, just to give people a reason to come. Different crowds of people, too, hoping that, you know, we can get them to come to see that. And they're like, hey, now we'll come back and we'll come to the 360 Nationals, the 410 Nationals, you know, just to try to drive more people to this place just to see it and hopefully get them to be return customers.
Yeah. Marie, one of our loyal listeners, she is from Pennsylvania. She says, what does he feel is the one thing he should look into to change? What is the one thing that you think that you'd like to change there, Jason?
Well, I don't know. To me, I just hear a lot of people that we talk here. We're like, you know, from the vendors to the owner. I mean, the owners and the drivers, not so bad. They know to get a hold of John McCoy. But it's just like I hear a lot of times we don't even know who's in charge of Knoxville. We don't know. We don't know who to call.
Right.
You know? So I just want, you know, we've got great groups. You know, John, I've said Gary, Jim Udemark, that does the the Victory Lane stuff and taking care of the sponsors. We've got all good people. We just all got to make sure we're going in the right direction. Same goal. You know, we all know what the goal is, but we sometimes take different paths to get there. So, you know, my main goal is just to, we're going to lay out a game plan ahead of time, so everybody knows what we're doing, how we're going to get there and to make it successful, to, you know, that way for everybody and everybody knows what we're doing. So that's my main goal to start off with right here.
Caleb, again, one of our loyal listeners that tunes in every day, he wants to know about, How about two day shows? And he's also wanting to know if there's any chance that you guys could bring USMTS up there, or are you going to add any more late model shows?
Whoa, that's a lot of questions.
Caleb is always on top of it. He's always got the questions.
No, I appreciate that. No, we are actually in negotiations right now of trying to do another two-day outlaw show. So earlier in the year, and as far as I'm a race fan, and yeah, USMTS, anything that anything we can make work here, I'm all for it. So I'm willing to look at all those possibilities. You know, if we can do that and make it work financially here. But I'm all more than willing to do that. What was his third question?
He wanted to know if there was going to be any added late model shows as well.
The late model thing, that's we talked about with the NASCAR race not coming back. We talked about, you know, do we try a late model show that weekend, you know, and still not have a sprint car race here that weekend. We just haven't been able to put that all together yet this year. So right now we're still doing another sprint car race there next year, but that is a possibility if we can make something happen. It's just the whole late model world, where do you get in on a weekend, you know, that someone doesn't already have a big race that everybody's already going to. So if something would come available that we could make that happen, I'd be more than willing to look at that.
How about non-wing races? I know that you were talking about that last night on the other program. Is there any chance that we're going to get some non-wing races up there at Knoxville?
I would say there's a chance, you know, that I know people's talk and wanting it, and some people want it back, but they would probably be that same deal. Maybe we talked about it last night, and I don't know if Eric Arnold or Ben brought it up, but maybe make it like the Olympics. So it's every 4 years, you know, it's going to be here. It's every 2 years or something. Those are all things that we've jotted down that I'm going to discuss with John McCoy and, you know, and see what we can make happen there. If we can make it happen, like I said, I'm willing to race whatever we can every weekend makes it work.
You know, one of the hot topics on this morning's show when we did our opening was the amount of laps that they run at the 410 Nationals, running 50 laps. And I don't know how you feel about this, but there's a lot of people that don't like that and would rather see it cut back to 35 laps. This is probably John's department, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but your thoughts on the 50-lap race?
Well, to me, myself, I like the 50-lap race, but that's my own personal preference. And if we need to do something different to make everybody think it's a better race, I'm all for that. But it just seems to me like since we went to 50 laps, there's been a lot of good endings to the race, you know, past lap 35 and on. And you nailed it when you said this is kind of John's deal, but I know I've talked to him about it in the past, you know, doing that. And John's not even confident with if we do the full raid parade lap and we do the fireworks, you know, that takes a couple laps. He's not even confident we have a couple cautions, we can make 35. So oh. Then you go to a 35 lap and you still have a fuel stop.
Right.
You know, then what do you have? So
yeah.
It's just that around Knoxville here, the motors take so much fuel, you know, I'm just going exactly what John's telling me. So,
yeah.
Like I said, John would be the one to talk to on this, but, he cringes even when we, you know, have a weekly race at 25 laps and we have a couple of cautions and then we do have some people that aren't lined up and we're out there going a few more laps, you know, he's starting to get nervous on fuel already by then. So,
right.
So yeah, I'm open to anything. My personal preference is that I still like the 50 lap race. You know, it's one time a year that, you know, the special race, that's why I'm for it. But I'm more than willing to, if it's better for everybody else, 35 laps and we can go 35, I'm all for it.
Yeah. All right. We're visiting with Jason Reed. He's the new general manager up at Knoxville Raceway, and we want to thank him for coming on the show today. How do you take when people, you know, there's been a lot of fodder about how people compare you to Ralph Capitani. What are your thoughts when people say that to you? That's got to be flattering, doesn't it?
Well, it's a great honor to be compared to him. But I like I told Eric and those guys last night. I hope in 10 years everybody's like, man, he was as good as Ralph. He's done so many great things around here, and he was around here when I was first on the board. I spent a lot of time, you know, listening to him and talking to him. And he's the one that he originally told me, man, you need to get on the executive committee. You need to get more involved in this. I can see that you really have a passion for this place and love it. He said, you know, you need to get more involved. So I spent a lot of time, the time I had with him, I did listen to everything he said, you know, and took it all in. But yeah, those are big shoes to fill. I no way think that I can, that I'm filling those shoes right now, but, I hope for in a few more years, everybody can say, man, this thing's really going in the right direction. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know if you know it, but my partner, Kirk Elliott, I don't know if you know this or not, but he was the announcer there in 75 and 76. And then when Ralph got hired, he fired Kirk Elliott. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not know that. In 75 and 76, I was one or two. So, yeah, no, I didn't know that one. So.
Right. Well, listen, he's as good as it gets when it comes to announcing races. Back in his day, he was just as good as they get. What do you feel like the number one thing that you need to do to as the general manager up at Knoxville Raceway? What do you think is the number one job that you're going to have to do, or what is the number one thing that you are most interested in changing up at Knoxville Raceway?
Like I said, I'm not got anything big that I want to change yet. I just want to continue. I mean, I think starting, you know, at our big event in August, start with the 360s, go through the 410s. We've got what I consider the best race, you know, for fans, sponsors, drivers, everybody, you know, for the 410 Nationals. I want to make sure that doesn't slip any, that we continue. There should be something for the fans to do all the time. You know, the sponsors feel like they're, you know, getting their money's worth, they're getting their fair shake here, that we continue to have a great purse. You know, I know there's races that pay more than us. You know, we for a long time, this one paid the most. I'm not out to do that. I want to make sure that everybody through the field, you know, we still continue to, you know, it's still 10,000 to start that race. And so, yeah, I'm just going to continue the whole fan experience. I want to make sure that everybody, when they're like, you got to go to Knoxville because, you know, it's just great from the time you get there. I want our employees to be welcoming to everybody. You know, I want to make it the greatest track in the world.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and Caleb brings this up as well. Why the pro sprints over the 305s for the entry class up there at Knoxville? Was there a reason why you guys went to the crate motor versus the 305s?
Yeah, and this one we more that John would know more knowledge about, but I just know the basic facts of it was that we had a 305 class, and we had guys spending $25,000 to $30,000 on a 305 motor.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so we're kind of defeating our purpose. You know, we got this go-kart track here south of town, English Creek, that we're trying to get drivers to come, and we've had a pile of them come up here, but they're like, man, we're trying to get out of the go-kart business and go to 305, but we don't want to give $30,000 for a motor, you know,
to be able
to compete. So that's when they find this GM crate motor, and, you know, it's more economical for everybody to get started, kind of get their feet wet and decide if, you know, if they want to race here at Knoxville, then if they want to move on up, they can. Like I said, we've had some big groups come through. We've had lots of kids that have ended up, that are still racing here today. The last year, we didn't have very many that, you know, came up. We were sort of, the pro sprint class was kind of down car count wise. But now, according to John, he's talked to several of them at English Creek, and if they can get motors, you know, the same thing, supply chain, we even get motors for those. If they can get them next year, we're going to have some more new ones next year. So, that was basically the decision. You know, we're like, man, they're spending a bunch of these things on a 360 and a 500 to win class, you know. And so we're just trying to scale it back, so we give everybody an opportunity. If they want to race a sprint car, here's your chance, and then you can move on up from there if you want.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jason, it's been a real honor to have you on the show. I'm excited for Knoxville Raceway. I think with your experience and everything that you have, the history behind it, being there since 1993 as a volunteer, working your way up as a board president, now the general manager, do you feel any pressure at all?
Oh yeah. Yeah, when we first started talking about it, I thought, yeah, this is no brainer. That'd be the dream. But then once it was actually offered to him, yeah, then the pressure came right on him, man. It's like, now it's a real deal, and everybody's, you know, going to be looking at what you do. And I'm feeling lots of pressure this week.
You know, it was funny in your conversation last night, and, you know, I traveled with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years doing their live broadcast. And a 360 racing, to me, is just about as good as any racing out there. I mean, we don't have – the stars are not the same, right, as that you have in 410 racing. But the on-track performance is equally as good. What do you got to do to draw people into the 360 Nationals a little bit more?
I've got that on one of my priorities of my list is to figure out, you know, what we got to do to get people here, you know. Because to me, you're like, right, that race the week before, I mean, I know everybody enjoys coming to the 410s, but that week, the 360, the 3 days before, week before, it's, you know, some of the best racing as far as, like you said, there's not as many names, but we're starting to get a few more of the big, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, the Outlaw guys aren't going to be here, but the other big name, a lot of 410 drivers, they're starting to come here. So we're trying to see what we can do to make that show go. You know, make it more so people, they all come for the 410s, because there's other entertainment going on too. So we're going to try to work, see what else we can work into the 360s to still make it, you know, so we're not spending a bunch of money that we can't afford to spend on that. But we're going to try to blow that thing up and get more people here for that also.
Is the high limits thing something that Knoxville Raceway would be interesting in having one of their races there?
We just have not had any luck on Tuesday or Wednesday night. I'm not saying that there's no chance, but it's just, if it's not Saturday night around here, it just seems pretty tough. But like I said, I'm not, we haven't been approached by them or nothing, but I just don't. It'd be interesting to see how those shows work, you know, on a Tuesday, Wednesday night. Maybe they will. It's just, it's great for the drivers and the teams. I mean, they're throwing a good purse at it, but I just wonder how it's going to work out financially for the tracks.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, Jason, man, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. We're so happy for you that you're the new general manager up there. I think they're in good hands. I think the future is bright for Knoxville Raceway, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you can do up there. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate you taking the time to do so.
I really appreciate you having me. I'm honored. So if you come to Knoxville, stop by and everybody see me, and we'll we'll see what we can do.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. That's Jason Reed. He is the new general manager of Knoxville Raceway. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Austin, what'd you take out of that interview there with Jason Reed? What'd you think about that? You feel like we're in good hands up there? I think we are, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you know, with him having experience on the board for, you know, so many years and getting to see you know, what Knoxville's transitioned through, and seeing what's worked and seeing what hasn't worked is really going to benefit him. And I also think, you know, coming in this first year, he doesn't have, you know, a lot of things that he doesn't or wants to change.
Right.
Maybe some few minor details, but
some tweaks here and there.
Yeah, and he's not going to come in here and reinvent the wheel and and maybe put Knoxville in a bad spot. So, you know, I definitely think that's going to be really beneficial to him and his time at Knoxville. And also, too, you know, you talk about his job at 3M and being a supervisor.
A leader of 60 people. Because last night when he was doing that interview, he said he was in charge of 60 people. So that sets him up in a great spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can lead somebody and not one person but a group, and we all know how big the Fair Board is and what it takes as a person to make Knoxville, you know, go around every Saturday night. So that's going to be really beneficial to him, and you know, he can take, you know, what he does Monday through Friday and apply it on Saturday and make it work.
Yeah, you know, to me, it feels like that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. But I think Jason Reed is the perfect guy. If you think about all of his experience since 1993, he was a volunteer at Knoxville. He was the previous Fair Board president. I think that they couldn't have did a better hire than Jason Reed up there. What do you think?
Yeah, to get somebody that started at being a, like you said, a volunteer and
in
worked his way.
1993.
Yeah, and he worked his way up from zero to the top, and being the leader of the Fair Board. I mean, the guy's seen every role. I think he probably could see and seen a lot of different things thrown at him, and you know, he has a really good understanding of each job there and how it works. And if you can understand how something works and understand how what you need to do to make everything run at 100% and be efficient, it's going to pay off. And I didn't know who Jason was. I saw the article come out 2 days ago, and I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, or 1 day ago maybe, and I'm like, all right, cool, just another guy. And I think, you know, after, you know, hearing him talk and in some of this article stuff I've read and in the interviews, I think, you know, they made a good decision here.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that. I think that the one thing that I think Jason has going for him, maybe more than anybody else that could be hired for that position, is that with his experience with the Fair Board, he knows the personalities of the people that are on the Fair Board, and he knows how to communicate with those people. And I think, you know, any time that you have to deal with the Fair Board, you need to know the personalities like the back of your hand. And I think that's what he brings to the table more than anything, is that he knows the personality of the Fair Board.
Yeah, I mean, if you know it and you know how to maybe manipulate or get the Fair Board to agree with you, that's what you want. You can really change or have an influence on their decisions, just knowing, you know, either how they think or things they like or do. And maybe for somebody that doesn't have that relationship with them, it's going to be a lot harder. And now you're maybe there on a personal level with a lot of those people, and they all want to work with you. And I think it's just, we're just sitting here checking off, you know, boxes of things that's like really benefiting and that's going to really, you know, help, you know, Knoxville and hiring and Jason. And he's checked off so many boxes of things you need to have to make this successful.
Yeah. How, let me ask you, he was talking about the 305s and the cost of the 305s, and I'm with him. Those 305s are getting way too expensive. How much do one of those crate motors cost? Do you know?
They're about $12,000 or so.
So you think that was the right move on them going away from the 305s because they were just getting too expensive?
It was a good move, and it also maybe was a bad move. It's going to take time to
get people on to
the
buy
bad
the
side
motor.
Of it. It's going to take time to build that class to where the 305s were in it.
Right.
And, you know, so I-80 on Saturday, they had the 305s as a support class, and there was 35, 38 305s there, and it was all race saver motors. And, you know, all those motors cost, you know, $25,000, $30,000. And, and Nebraska has a good handle on 305 racing. And Knoxville is kind of always been a kind of a one-off deal for 305s. The class, and You know, we did see a trend this year where we saw the car count down, but I remember seeing a couple years back we almost had a full field of those cars, and mm-hmm. and that's how the classes are going to be, and with it being, you know, the entry level, some guys, you know, just in my case bypass the 305s because you know you're going to spend the same money,
right?
You know, on it, and just go 360 racing. And I think if people know how much that 525 motor cost, and I think if that number maybe was a little more public and people were kind of showing off on how good that package is, you'd see some more entry level, you know, teams move to that.
Other tracks would run that motor if it became successful at Knoxville Raceway.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't think many people are going to back away from the 305s, to be honest with you.
No, that class is pretty much set in stone on where it's going to go, and you know, Race Saver has a really good handle on a lot of tracks, and you know, you're either going to have a car that can go race, you know, in the Midwest, or you're going to have a car that can race go race Knoxville only. And that's just kind of how it's going to mm-hmm. be.
Yeah. Anyway, so this weekend, we'll wrap it up with this. USRA Nationals are going to be taking place down at Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend. Would you compare this to the Boone Nationals for USRA? Would you compare it to that?
Yeah, that's the best race you could probably compare it to. I mean, I think they start racing tonight or tomorrow night, and they race all the way into Saturday, and they race, you know, in the afternoon to late at night, and they have hundreds of cars entered in every class, and it is the race that if you're a USRA car that you look forward to, it is your biggest race of the year, and it would rival you know, IMCA Boone Nationals, and mm-hmm. You know, anytime you can pull and have an event, you know, as big as that, it's something that everybody looks forward to, and it's going to continue to grow. I remember when they first, you know, had those first two or three races at Lakeside years ago. I remember going to the first couple of them, and you know, it was they had a good, you know, car count and good following the first couple of years, and just to see it continue to build and grow is cool to see where they started at. And I think, you know, making the decision to move it to Lucas Oil was the ultimate decision to make, and it's gonna just take this race to a next level, because one, Lucas Oil is a next level facility,
yep.
And you have a race that is the biggest in USRA, you know, racing throughout the year. It's just you couldn't get a better combination.
Yeah. Jerome said, Knoxville Raceway is my heaven. It, you know, it is for a lot of people up there, right? Frog, listen, Frog, I agree with you a lot of times, but this particular statement that you just made, I'm not in agreement with you. He says they need to run Race Savers at Double X Speedway. No, they don't. They don't need to run 305s down there at Double X, do they?
No, because all the 305s race the 360s, and there's no 305s left in Missouri. There's a couple cars down at the lake, but it's not the class I'd put my money on. And I'd rather see Double X step up and pay more money for the 360s, which actually bring cars and have cars around this area that would like to come down there. But you pay them $1,000 to win and $125 to start. I mean, you're not going to... you're not gonna have any cars, and I, you know, it's the 305s. You can get away with paying them less, but you're not gonna have but the same amount of cars.
Yeah.
10, 12.
Yeah. Rick said my cousin converted his IMCA stock car to USRA. Should be a decent amount of guys that make the move to race. And Todd, he says here that. Wish the fair board here in Sedalia would take a couple of lessons from Knoxville. I can't disagree with that, what Todd said right there. Can you?
Yeah, Sedalia needs to...
They need to shit or get off the pot.
More or less, yeah. I mean, I just... We've heard some rumors about what's going to happen at Sedalia. I just hope... Hope it stays a racetrack, and hope we can get some more races there.
Oh.
That's probably the one of the last race.
That wasn't Frog that said that. That was David Neal that said that. I'm sorry. I messed up there. David Neal needs to get credit for running Race Savers down at Double X Speedway. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting to hear from Jason Reed, and we can't thank him enough for being on the show today. It's been a good one. And tomorrow we're going to do it all over again. I'm not sure who the guest is going to be, but we're going to line up somebody before tomorrow. So just stick around. We appreciate everybody that tunes in every day. We got a great amount of loyal listeners that tune into the show each and every day, and we're so thankful for you guys that do so each and every day here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.